Let us pray together. Lord, as we come to this passage today, in some ways it's a very familiar one. And in other ways, it has been twisted and turned from which great heresies have sprung. And whole denominations and people are lost because of what some have done with this passage, Lord. And that which was meant to bring light has been twisted by some to bring darkness. And so, Lord, we pray that during our time together in your word today, you will open our eyes to the light that is here, that you will equip us to speak truth in love to those who have a distorted understanding of this passage, so we can point them to the true light. And we ask that your light will shine into our lives in whatever darkness we are facing right now. And so, Lord, we bring before you our darkness. We bring before you ourselves and ask that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Amen. Well, the Christmas season is upon us, and ready or not, here it comes. People respond in different ways to this time of year. Some love it, some dread it. Everyone is affected somehow. My family doctor in Ottawa used to say, December is, if not the most stressful time of the year, one of the most stressful times. And when you begin to think about it, you can understand why. There's pageants everywhere, churches, schools, and communities, which can be wonderful and usually turn out wonderfully, but in the days prior can be incredibly stressful. Just ask our youth ministry team who worked up to last night's banquet, and then it's all over, and it went well, and yet all that happened in the days before. College and university students face final exams. I hope some of you aren't studying like right now, are you? Okay, well, yeah, just give me a few minutes of your time, but I know it's pressure right now, as finals are coming, and I remember being in school and sometimes not even being able to think about Christmas until my finals were done. And that was December 23rd one year. And the Christmas shopping was, wow, efficient that year. Then there are office parties, community parties, care group parties, small group parties, banquets, hosting, meals to prepare. Oh, and Christmas shopping. Did I mention that among the crowds? And getting packages sent off on time and Christmas cards written if you do that and a Christmas letter put together if you do that. Year end for some businesses and accountants and family gatherings. And for some, oh, that's wonderful, and some of you are dreading the family gathering. But perhaps the biggest stressor or pressure of the Christmas season is that you are supposed to be happy, joyful, celebrating all the wonderful things. But what if you're not? What if things haven't gone well this year? If you've lost a loved one, Christmas can magnify that pain. They're not around for this year's celebrations. If a marriage broke apart this past year, there's the pain of that brokenness. If things haven't gone well at work or with business or in school or in life, Christmas can make it worse. And then if you turn on the news, peace on earth seems like a cruel joke. And if one of or several of these factors converge in addition to the stress of December, we might begin to believe that darkness is winning. Is darkness gaining ground? Is life only about trying to escape or mask this reality? Or is there something that we're missing when we're looking at all the things in life and around us? Well, the problems of this world and the challenges in our lives are real. But darkness will not win for the Christian. In fact, God, through his word, brings us this message today. Jesus' light triumphs over darkness. Jesus' light has won, is winning, and will win completely over the darkness. And today we're going to explore reasons why this claim is true and what difference it makes for our lives today and this week and this Christmas season. So here's the key statement. Since Jesus' light triumphs over darkness, we must constantly find it and shine it. Every year, this season provides us with an opportunity to revisit and reflect upon the Christmas story. But what part of the story are we going to look at? We get the Christmas story primarily from two Gospels, Matthew and Luke. Mark doesn't mention the story at all. He goes right into John the Baptist, and then there is John. Most scholars believe John was written last of the four Gospels. So it's likely that he knew what Matthew and Luke had included in their Gospels, all the details about the Christmas story. That may be why John chose a profoundly different approach to the Christmas story. And through this Advent season, we are going to be studying John's account of Jesus' coming, which is contained in only 14 verses. A simple yet very deep message. And in the very first verses, John raises this light-darkness issue. Though written 1900 years ago, John strikes a chord and a nerve. He identifies the reality of darkness, but also God's provision to deal with the darkness. And if some darkness or difficulty threatens you or your life right now, God's provision is for you. And I believe that the truth about Jesus' light can shape all of our perspectives going into the Christmas season. It can bring us peace and joy, not because everything is going well, not that we have to fake happiness, but because Jesus' light triumphs over darkness, even in your life. So we need to answer some questions to grasp what John is saying. What, in fact, is Jesus' light? What is darkness? And why does Jesus' light triumph over the darkness? And then we'll conclude briefly by asking, how do we live in light of the light? Our text is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14 this Advent season. Today we're just doing the first five verses, but if you have a Bible, you can find John 1, 1 to 14. I'm reading from the English Standard Version today. And John writes this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Since Jesus' light triumphs over darkness, we must constantly find it and shine it. But where do I get that Jesus' light triumphs over darkness? Well, we'll start in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. But it doesn't say Jesus' light, Tom. It says light. That could be any light. True. So we need to find out about this light. What is this light? Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. So this light actually comes from life, not from electricity or kerosene or a candle wick or even the sun. The light comes from the life from within him. Who is this him? We have to go all the way back to verse 1 to find out who him is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. So there's the him, in whom there was life, which was the light that shines and prevails over the darkness. So who's the him? Someone called the Word, or Logos in Greek. Word is the title John gives to God the Son as he existed before time. So the Word is the pre-existent Christ. The Word is Jesus, even though it's technically wrong to refer to the Word as Jesus, because the name Jesus refers to the God-man who walked the earth 2,000 years ago. But since you and I know the name Jesus better than we know the name Word, I use Jesus to identify him in verse 4, Jesus' light. So the answer to the question, what is the light, is then the light is the life of God the Son, the Word. God the Son's life is this light. Jesus' life is this light. What is darkness? The darkness is not simply the absence of light, because verse 5 talks about some sort of conflict between light and darkness. So darkness must refer to Satan, sin, and death. An unholy trinity that makes war on the world and on God's people. But I claim Jesus' light triumphs over darkness. Is that what verse 5 says? It depends what version of the Bible you're reading. If you have the NIV, your verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. If you have the King James, it says, the darkness did not comprehend it. Well, that doesn't sound like conflict. Light shone and darkness didn't understand it. Darkness didn't get it. But your NIV Bible will also note an alternative translation. Overcome. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And the ESV takes that translation and doesn't even give the understanding translation a footnote. Why? Well, did the first few words of this passage remind you of anything? In the beginning. Same words as Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what needed to happen for creation to move forward? Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness hovered over the deep. So what's the very first thing God creates in verse 3? God said, let there be humans. No. Let there be animals. No. Plants. No. light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. So for any creation to even happen, darkness had to be overcome. Light had to dispel darkness or drive it back, because without light, there's no life. So for that reason, I think John is doing something similar here. He draws attention to that first creation. It's like he's saying, remember in the first creation, light came and darkness could not dispel it? Well, a new light has come and darkness has not overcome it. And notice the tense of the verb he uses in verse 5. And I know some of you right now are twitching. Oh, grammar. Oh, I come to church to get away from school. I don't want to think on those levels at all. Well, just think about past, present, future for a moment here. What does he say in verse 5? The darkness did not overcome light in the past? No. The darkness will not overcome the light in the future? No. The darkness has not, right now, overcome the light. Right as I'm writing this parchment, it has not overcome the light. And it did not overcome the light when the churches first read this gospel. And the darkness does not overcome the light while we read it. And it's not overcoming the light today in our lives. And if darkness doesn't overcome light, darkness loses. It's not a tie. If light remains on, darkness loses. Where there is light, there can't be darkness. So Jesus' light continually triumphs over darkness's attempts to overcome it. This is right here, right now, for believers of Christ. In John 12:46, Jesus says, I have come as light into the world that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. So believers have passed from darkness into light. And then in John 12:36, we read, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. So when you believe in Jesus, not only do you leave the darkness and enter the light, you actually join the family of light. And Paul writes, once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, walk as children of light in Ephesians 5:8. So Jesus' light triumphs over darkness. That's the claim. But is it true? Aren't these just a bunch of religious words used to kind of, you know, inspire the people that choose the Christian path? Why does Jesus' light triumph over darkness? Because Jesus is unlike anyone else or any other light in history. This is not some abstract philosophical argument. John places this light into history. Jesus is like unlike any other light that has come. And the first four verses build up to verse 5, giving us these reasons why Jesus is unlike anyone else. The first one is in verse 1. This one was the Word with God and was God. We've already seen the title Word refers to God the Son in his pre-existent state, but John reveals some key factors about the Word in these first phrases. And these are the factors that are misunderstood and have led thousands away from who Jesus really is. Notice at first the Word was with God, meaning personal intimacy, pointing to a distinction of persons in the Trinity. There was the Word and there was God, the Father. But the second phrase is a stumbling block for many. The Word was God. Not the Word was a God, the Word was God. So the Son was God and the Father was God or is God. And this is the glory and mystery of the Trinity. Somehow God is one and a unity of three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And more mind-boggling than that, God somehow became human. And that's the climax of our study. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. But that will be Christmas Eve. One commentator writes, though, language threatens to crack and strain under the pressure of this mind-boggling confession. Poet W.H. Auden's lines capture this paradox. How could the eternal do a temporal act? The infinite become a finite fact? Nothing can save us that is possible. In other words, yes, this is absolutely mind-boggling. We can't completely get this, yet it must be this way. For if we could unpack God completely and figure out how everything worked, we'd be God. God is like us and yet so unlike us. And this Son of God, whose life is the light, is infinitely greater than anyone or anything. He is God. Nothing is greater than God. Nothing can consume God. Nothing gains victory over God. The light, Jesus' light, triumphs over darkness. Why else does light triumph over darkness? Verse 2, the one having this light was with God in the beginning. He had no origin. There never was a time when he never was. He is always being. He was there when the first light appeared, dispelling that first darkness. When you want to deal with something, you've got a problem that you can't fix, you call in an expert. A plumber, a carpenter, a paramedic, a consultant. You want someone who has experience in dealing with the problem. Well, who has the most experience in history in overcoming darkness? Jesus. Because he was there in the beginning, before creation. And not only was he present at creation, he was the agent of creation. That's number three. Through him, everything was created, says verse three. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. So the point is this, the energetic, purposeful, growing, reproductive life that shines in the darkness is the life of the one through whom all things were made. The life that shines in the light is the life of the Creator. And Colossians 1, 16 and 17 describe this, describe Jesus as the agent of creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I remember God giving me this verse, Colossians 1:17, when my life seemed to be coming apart when I was in my early 20s. In him, all things hold together. Have you ever thought you got to hold everything together? What a relief to know in him all things hold together. The universe and your life. And the final reason Jesus' light triumphs over darkness is found in verse 4. Jesus' light is a living light that is completely independent of external force or source. Verse 4, four words. In him was life. He didn't need to have life given to him. He doesn't depend on some outside source to sustain him. In John 5:26, Jesus declares, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." So Jesus' light is not like a traffic light that you can ignore. It's not like a spotlight that can only shine where it's pointed. It's not like a lamplight that works only if it's plugged into a source. Jesus' light comes from within him, his life from within him. He is self-sustaining, independent, source of life for the new creation and the first creation. And with all of these reasons, John comes to the conclusion he comes to in verse 5, because he is God and was with God in the beginning, and he is the agent of creation, and he is a self-sustaining source of light, his life, and light triumph over darkness. Which can make a huge difference in our lives today when we remember that Jesus' light triumphs over darkness. Like some of you who have lost loved ones this past year, if they've been Christians, you know that right now they are seeing all kinds of light in heaven. And even though you mourn and you suffer the darkness of them not being here, you celebrate that his light ultimately triumphs in their lives. But what if you have lost a loved one that you don't know if they do know Christ? I was corresponding with someone who was in that situation recently. How are you doing? And this was part of their response. We're doing well. Food is on the table. Heat is in the house. Plenty of work to keep us busy, and we feel that we are blessed with knowing our salvation. What more could I ask for? How can that person write that, not knowing that their loved one is in heaven or not? I think that it is an example of Jesus' light giving that person that perspective, that hope, that comfort, that somehow he can rest in that. Loss, tragedy, difficulty, illness all have the potential to close in on us with darkness, but Scripture promises a God who works for the good of those who love him in all things. Oh, the darkness is real. One commentator writes, God's people have learned from bitter experience that the darkness still rejects the light and threatens life itself. But does that matter? The light shines on more brightly than on the day of creation, and the life gives entrance into new creation. So when darkness closes in, when it seems like darkness is winning, it isn't. We must cling to the reality of John 1:5. The darkness has not overcome the light. So how do we live in light of it? First, we must constantly find Jesus' light. This world works, and the enemy works to blind our vision of the way in which light is not being overcome. So we need to look around and listen around and ask others, where have you seen Jesus' light dispel darkness recently? Where have you seen darkness try to overcome the light and fail? So we must constantly find it, and then we must shine it. Live a life shining with Christ. Shine light into a dark discussion. Shine light into a dark decision where the Lord was not consulted. Shine light by showing love to the unlovely and the wanderer and the stranger. Offer grace to those not walking with the Lord. Yes, darkness is real and threatening, but it has not overcome the light. So cling to that truth and to Jesus, and then go into this season not faking happiness, but resting in the reality that Jesus' light has triumphed, is triumphing, and will triumph over whatever darkness we face. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, you see everything in our lives right now. You see perfectly where darkness threatens us. You see where darkness threatens our church. Lord, I pray that you would continue to open our eyes to what you have planted in our minds and hearts today, that your light, Jesus, triumphs over the darkness. I pray for those who are walking in darkness right now and can't see that. Will you give them faith? Faith to trust in your triumphing light, even though they can't see it right now. Will you bring others around them who can testify to the truth that they have seen your light triumph over the darkest situations? And Lord, for those who are walking in darkness here today that have never known you, will you draw them to yourself? Will you open their eyes to the light that is Jesus? Lord Jesus, will you shine your light into their hearts and call them to you? And Lord, as we go into Christmas as a church, I pray that we collectively would focus on the fact that your light triumphs over the darkness in our own lives, in our church's life. May we speak that truth to one another, encouraging, spurring on, dispelling darkness as you give us opportunity to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Later in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes this statement: I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So may you go forth walking in the light of light, Jesus. Amen.